Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, in our weekly benefits going down update, United Airlines ups fees for its lounges and credit cards, touting bonus benefits. And there's an effort afoot to get rid of the TSA. We'll share more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we have tips on how and why you might want to cool your jets a bit while traveling internationally. Expressing your political views on the road isn't always a good idea, no matter what side that you're on.
For many years here on the Travel Guys, we have supported the Wreath Project, a small local nonprofit that seeks to honor the fallen at the Sacramento Valley Cemetery each holiday season. Collecting enough funds to decorate 38,000 graves is a massive project that must start early. At 11:35, we talk with Susie Stocking, who, along with her husband, heads up this amazing project every year. Attention golfers, we'll tell you how you can get involved.
You're sitting in the boarding area, and the announcement comes that the flight is overbooked. Who will be willing to give up their seat and be compensated? Are you talking cash or play money? When is that next flight that you're putting me on going to get me home? What is a fair amount of compensation? A lot of questions. We've got the answers with Charlie Leoka from Travelers United coming up at 11:45.
Sure to appreciate you taking the time to join us live on Saturday morning or on the podcast during the week. Thank you for being a listener to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, here live and in living radio. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget our website, travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guests today and so much more can be found right there. Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you, sir.
It's a wonderful Saturday. Everybody's all excited about baseball and all kinds of stuff going on. Look, we talked last week about something that we want to hit on here in the next few weeks. We kind of indicated we were going to do it this week, but we're going to hold. Please explain.
We talked about that I was going to apply for a real ID here on the air and that you could follow along with. And we want to do that, but we found that technically, in order for us to give you a link to follow along with us and stuff, that there was a little more technology involved to that than I thought. So we will do that in 2 weeks. The deadline for getting a real ID is the first part of May, but they've already told us that if you don't have one, you go to the airport, the TSA is just going to tell you this is something that you need to do. Of course, as we've mentioned, you can solve that problem by using your passport as your ID, and then you never need to get a real ID if you don't want to. But otherwise, many of us, our driver's licenses basically can turn into a real ID, and we will explain how to do that on the air. And if you want to, you can follow along with us. That'll be 2 weeks from today. Also, I wanted to mention, Tom, that I got my renewal for my TSA PreCheck came up last week. They sent me a renewal by email, and I went online and filled it out. I would say it took less than 5 minutes. Got a receipt in my mailbox 20 minutes later that said, you know, we've gotten your application, and if there are any issues, we'll let you know. Otherwise, you can expect your extension to be approved shortly. So when it comes to TSA PreCheck, that is something that you can do without having to go in and see anybody in person. The real ID thing is also that way, but there are some caveats there, and we'll explain all of that. If you haven't done anything, and I'm guessing probably 80% of people haven't, we will tell you how to walk you through how to do that 2 weeks from today.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. And it's at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we take time to bring you up to date on the travel news. And I'm particularly interested in this travel news because Mark teased something about getting rid of the TSA.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can't even fathom that.
I'm going to keep teasing it because it's a little later in the newscast, but it's not a new idea. So think about that. The big news this week really and truly is somewhat of an argument over how many people, international people, are canceling their trips to the United States this year. The numbers are big, and they're going to get bigger. And for those of you who think this is not a problem, you obviously don't work in a tourism-related business or own a small business that's somewhere near an international border or a big international gateway airport or something like that, because those people are already feeling the pinch. We talked last week about the fact that an airline ticketing reporting group says that there are 70% fewer reservations on the books going through the summer into September from Canadians to come to the United States. That doesn't necessarily mean that 70% fewer people will come, but it means that's the way it looks right now, that using year-over-year statistics, those numbers are off. International travel was predicted to go up 9% to the United States this year. That estimate has now been revised to a 5% decline. So that's a 14% swing. It's about $64 billion shortfall for the travel industry, for people coming into the country. This has nothing to do with people who leave the country. But remember, as we've talked about before, the biggest export that the United States have is actually sort of an import. When people come to our country, they spend a lot more money here than we spend when we go there. So the balance of trade, which has been a big deal with all of the tariffs and everything, the balance of trade when it comes to travel is heavily in the United States' favor. So it's very much in our best interest from a fiscal standpoint to get as many people to come here. Now, I'm not saying they should come here, you know, without proper documentation or anything like that, and they should go home when it's time for them to go home. But nonetheless, if we do things that discourage these people from coming here, we're going to cost our country a lot of money. So you can fall on that wherever you want, but the number of overseas visitors fell 2.4% in February from a year later. Africa down 9%, Asia 7%, Central America 6%, China 11%. So there are now newspaper editors around the world who are, here's a headline from a newspaper in the New Amsterdam that says, "Boycott America?" This is not the first one that I've seen. I see these almost every day now in my news feeds. Some Europeans reconsider trips to U.S. in protests against Trump. Arrivals from Denmark fell 6% in February after increasing 7% a year ago. I suspect this is probably the tip of the iceberg, but I also suspect that it can turn around as quickly as it has come up. So if the rhetoric and stuff is toned down a little bit, and if people in Washington, D.C. Come to the realization that this is going to cause – Tom, I find it incredibly ironic that there are people in Washington, D.C. who right now are going around trying to pick off places where there's too much government. And God knows there are probably plenty of those places. I'm not particularly in favor of this sort of random thing that they're doing, but nonetheless – there are probably lots of places where you could save a lot of money in government. It just seems ironic to me that some of the things that we're doing and some of the stances we're taking is discouraging people from coming here, which happens to be something that we make a lot of money on. So if we're really concerned about the dollars and cents, we might want to pivot just a little bit here and make it a little easier and sound a little friendlier. And let these people know. I mean, and listen, you see these stories about people getting stopped at the border and stuff like that, and the people with the timeshare who can't get home from Mexico. Just make sure before you get too excited for those people that you read the backstory. Because in many cases, the backstory will tell you that these are people who tried to do something, or this is their second or third time around in the system, and they got caught. And they were kind of in a shady area to start with, so that's probably why they got attention called to themselves and why they got caught. So don't automatically look at every story of somebody trying to get into the country and having an issue or trying to get home and say, oh, well, that's just completely unfair. Because in some cases, there are legitimate reasons why those folks are having problems. So there are two sides to every story, but I will just suggest that we want to make it a little bit easier for and seem a little friendlier, sound a little friendlier. This is a great place to visit. I travel all over this country all the time. there are a lot of cool things here. Route 66 is going to have its centennial next year. The Brits and the French absolutely, and the Dutch absolutely love traveling that old highway. So a lot of them are probably making plans to come here and see rural America. So anyways, enough on that. Did you have any comment on that, sir?
No, you're spot on. I agree with everything you've said. I'm still waiting with bated breath to find out if the TSA is going to be going away.
Yeah, well, all right.
Because it's so critical. We put it in place in very critical times to protect ourselves from terrorists and so forth. And
right.
We all kind of flash on what it was like before that. And
what if I told you that TSA has already this story has a little bit of a catch to it. What if I told you that TSA has already gone away in some cities, including San Francisco?
Now, are you saying TSA is being remanaged by somebody else?
Yeah, exactly.
And they still have security,
yes.
But it's no longer
yes.
run by the
yes.
TSA.
Yes, you fell for the T's, lock, stock, and barrel.
No, I'm a sucker.
That's all right. That's all right. It's done that way to keep people listening. What they're talking about, a bill has been introduced in Congress to privatize TSA.
Yeah.
So that, and this is already
like this
done.
Radio show.
Exactly. It's already done in three or four cities in the country, are already privatized in San Francisco. You pass through what you would call TSA, but those are not TSA employees. So when you see that story, it's not that somebody says, oh my goodness, we're just going to do away with security and let everybody just run to their aircraft. That's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is the fact that in some cities, TSA has already been privatized and that a bill in Congress would privatize it all over the country and do away with the TSA as a government agency per se. So I don't really have an opinion on that. I've never had any issues. I don't go through security in San Francisco very often. I don't hear stories of people having to wait long times in lines in San Francisco or having issues. So I'm going to guess that means that probably things are working well. Hey, listen, this is short travel. This is it when you're going to West Sacramento, specifically for a baseball game. You know, if you're going to San Francisco for a Giants game, there's thousands of places to eat on the way, in the city, all that kind of stuff. You're going to West Sacramento, the choices are a little slimmer. And so we have posted, this came from one of my Sacramento websites, we have posted a list where to eat before an A's game in Sacramento on the Travel Guys website. So if you would like, if you're someone who has tickets to one or two or three games this year, or you're a season ticket holder and you've never been to the ballpark in West Sacramento, or you're thinking, gee, you know, maybe we grab a meal on the way in. What are the cool local places in West Sacramento where you could have some munchies before or after the game? Go to travelguysradio.com. We have posted a list there. Carnival San Francisco is coming back the 24th and 25th of May, a two-day festival celebrating African influence in the Americas. There is live music, costumes, the food. There's a grand parade on Sunday. It's the 24th and 25th of May in San Francisco. We don't often talk about travel deals on this program, but one came across my desk that I thought I would mention to you all. If you're thinking about going to Paris, there is a Tahitian airline that flies from Los Angeles to Tahiti and from Paris to Tahiti, and also flies nonstop from Los Angeles to Paris. It's Air Tahiti Nui. It's a very good airline. I've flown them before. They have lots of extra legroom without you having to pay for it. The fares are surprisingly low. You can connect. Obviously, you'd have to go to LAX to connect. But anyway, just something I thought I'd share with you. If you're thinking about going to Paris, think about the Tahitian airline. Non-alcoholic drink sales are surging in restaurants across the country as people increasingly choose non-alcoholic beverages for health and economic reasons. This story also mentions, this comes from the Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia, that sales of non-alcoholic beverages doubled after a new menu came in. Here's another comment from a rural bar in New Jersey that says, yes, one of the reasons that people are drinking non-alcoholic drinks in bigger numbers is we have a wider variety of marijuana-laced beverages, and people are choosing those over the alcohol beverages. So it's not that people are not going to their local pub and still getting it on. They're just doing it in a slightly different manner. Let's see here. We talked about the TSA thing. FAA is going to hire 2,000 travel air traffic controllers to help with the air traffic controller shortage. It's interesting that this article talks about the fact that they're 3,500 people short, and they're going to hire 2,000. So I don't know. I do the math. I say, why would you not try to hire 3,500? But maybe right. That's just me. And that, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
By the way, speaking of places to dine before Rivercats games and so forth, I'm going to really, really miss the fact that the Pheasant Club over there in the West Sac closed up last year, because that was always a good place to go prior to a game. I know a place, but it's a little further away.
Yeah,
it's Rudy's Hideaway.
Hey, listen, I have to break in here just for a second. The Rudy's Hideaway Clam Chowder Fan Club has doubled in numbers over the week, from 1 to 2. I got a note at Travel Guys Radio, and I can't find it, and which really embarrasses me because I wanted to mention this lady's name. But anyway, one of our listeners wrote and said, yes, she went to Rudy's, and she said, I agree with you, clam chowder is top-notch. So
that's great.
Already we've doubled to 2 the number of people in the Rudy's Clam Chowder fan club.
And there you go, and you can chime in at TravelGuysRadio.com if you happen to be person number 3. You know, Rudy's is famous for their catering, famous for their crab feeds. They have fresh Dungeness crab in bulk. If you're thinking about having a crab feed and you want to really, really dazzle people with the quality of crab, then check with Steve at Rudy's Hideaway to get yours. Don't forget now, Monday night's dinner for two, $70. They have several choices of entrees for you to pick. It's a great price and super quality food. And as we always mention, you can get the Travel Guy Special for $29.95, 6-ounce lobster tail with most of all the fixings. I do think the clam chowder comes on the side. Yeah. And I know Mark would be more than happy to... Actually, I think Mark, what he does is he goes there for the clam chowder, and he has the, prime rib on the side or something. Anyway, stop into Rudy's. They're easy to find. You can see them right off Highway 50 at Hazel, and be sure to tell them that Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, sent you.
Talking baseball, Lazuski Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the Scooter, the Barber,
Sacramento
and the Duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially with...
And how about them Giants, huh?
They are undefeated. They are undefeated. You cannot win them all if you do not win the first one. You cannot win them all. So I'm excited. It's Buster Posey's team. And if you ever watched Buster Posey play, you know he plays hard. He played hard every day. You want to play on Buster's team? By God, you're going to play hard every day. And I'm these guys. Those guys make a lot of money. The ticket prices are ridiculous. I'm all about seeing a good baseball team play. Wouldn't it be cool if the A's drew big crowds? The Athletics, I'm sorry, drew big crowds here in Sacramento. They didn't look all that bad down in Arizona. Wouldn't it be amazing if somehow they snuck into the playoffs or something? Would that not drive the whole city bananas? I mean, this has always been a baseball town, and I realize that there are more Giants fans here than A's fans, but I think if that team in West Sacramento does something exciting this year, that you watch. You just watch what could happen. All right, listen, smarter traveler stuff here. Let's do a quick twofer. When you're traveling this summer and you're outside of the country, leave the MAGA hat or the, you know, I didn't vote for him, or all of that stuff at home, because believe it or not, people around the world are paying more attention, surprise, to what's going on in our country right now. And unless you're just looking for a confrontation, there's no reason to do things like that. Here's some other things. You're in a restaurant. You're having a conversation with the people you're traveling with. There's no reason for you to be talking about political issues. You don't want to carry a fanny pack or a backpack that marks you as a tourist, or worse yet, that shows what your political affiliation might be. There are people on both sides of this issue who would relish the opportunity to come at you about it. So just avoid those situations. If you get into a situation where someone makes a comment to you or something about that you don't care for, seek other people. If go into some place where there are lots of folks, politely excuse yourself. It's not. We haven't seen a lot of this stuff yet. There will be some of it. There's always some of it, no matter what's going on politically. So just don't. If you're going overseas or you're traveling to another country, that is not the time or the place to express what your political feelings might be, unless that is really the reason that you went there. And if that is the case, I really feel badly for you. We're just citizens from all over the world. We should be able to go to each other's countries and learn about how each other live, and without having to bring our politics with us. Okay, here's the 2-4 part. Plane turned around, French plane turned around, Air Canada, or Air France plane turned around and went back to Paris last week because a passenger couldn't locate their cell phone. They dropped it on the, under the seat, and the airline turned around and went back. Why would an international flight full of people turn around because somebody dropped their cell phone? Remember that announcement that you get when you get on the plane now that's been going on the last couple of years? If you lose your cell phone, don't try to find it yourself. Ask the flight attendant for help. You know, don't try moving your seat or something like that. Those are lithium batteries. There have been a couple of isolated incidences where cell phones have started smoking on airplanes because of that battery. If you were to crush the phone by moving the seat or something like that inadvertently, it's possible that you could cause some type of a situation. So that's why when they couldn't find this phone, they turned around and went all the way back to Paris. They weren't that far from Paris, about an hour. But they turned around, went back to Paris, found the phone, every life was good, and they went on. So if you're wondering all about that, it's because it represents a legitimate danger on the airplane. So if you drop your phone and you can't find it, that's what they're going to do in some cases, is it's a big enough deal to put the airplane on the ground and find the phone. So that's what that is all about. When you hear that announcement on the plane, they turn an international flight around. Because, and that has nothing to do with the pilot. The two United pilots in 2 weeks forgot their passports, and they had to turn flights around to go get the passports for the pilots. How embarrassing.
Wow, that's unbelievable. The phone thing, you know, I feel like we should have heard about that before now, because people are losing and dropping the cell phones on a daily basis. I have a feeling a lot of them are dropped and they're fished around and found before anybody knew that they'd been dropped. But good point, and good safety move.
Well, now we know why that announcement is being. I couldn't figure out why would it be such a big deal if somebody dropped their phone on the floor and, you know, just get down on the floor and find it. I mean, you might have to displace a couple people, but anyways, now you know.
All right. Hey, I think we went over here. It's time for a short timeout. We'll be back with a Sports Leisure update right here on the Travel Guys.
Think switching your point of sale is too much work or too expensive? Not with Shopify Point of Sale. When you switch to Shopify POS, you get free POS hardware, free personal migration support, and you save 25% on your monthly subscription cost. That's up to $2,300 in value. It's everything you need to make the switch without all the stress. Eligibility requirements apply. Visit Shopify.com/save to learn more. Again, that's Shopify.com/save.
From California's capital city, now trending on KFBK, Sacramento's news radio.
A critical deadline for property owners whose homes burnt in the January wildfires is being extended. L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger says the deadline to submit right-to-entry forms for debris removal is now April 15th. She says, don't hesitate.
Only because I want people to do this. It's important for us to get as many properties cleaned as possible and cleared so that we can begin the rebuilding process.
Barger says all other deadlines, including applying for FEMA assistance, small business and unemployment claims, remains for Monday, March 31st. An initiative against insurance companies has been submitted to the California Attorney General's office. The proposal would make it illegal for insurance companies to delay, deny, or modify any medical procedures or medication. As the latest, I'm Ryan Baker.
Now, Sacramento traffic.
Taking a look at KFBK traffic, we start things off in Sacramento, westbound 50 at Harbor Boulevard. An earlier crash has been cleared from the roadway. which prompted a sig alert. That sig alert has been canceled as well, but traffic in recovery mode. Your stop and go from I-5 out past Harbor. Meanwhile, eastbound Cap City Freeway, your stop and go there between N Street and American River. Westbound Cap City Freeway, your stop and go between Auburn Boulevard and Howe Avenue. Roseville, a slow ride there on southbound 65 between Blue Oaks Boulevard and Stanford Ranch Road. Traffic on the 10s every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. Christine Samra, KFBK News Radio, 93.1 FM, 1530 AM.
Now, Sacramento weather.
For the rest of the afternoon, it'll be a nice day for outdoor activities. It'll be partly sunny, a high of 63 to 67. Overcast tonight with a couple of showers towards dawn, low 47 to 51. Tomorrow, a high of 61 to 65. I'm AccuWeather's Jillian Ford on KFBK, Sacramento's News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The most worrisome wildfire in the Carolinas just spread in past hours from South Carolina into North Carolina, named the Table Rock Fire. Officials say it was started by negligent campers and now is threatening some homes. In Pickens, South Carolina, ABC's Faith Abube.
It is rapidly growing. It's intensifying. In fact, just over the last 24 hours, we've seen that fire grow about 2,000 acres. The size of the entire fire here is now about 11,000 acres.
From the huge 7.7 magnitude earthquake, Myanmar's military leaders say they expect total deaths to rise. There are already at least 1,644. Thousands of others injured. Crews are digging to find people trapped in collapsed buildings in Bangkok, hundreds of miles away. Protests globally against Tesla dealerships because of anger over Elon Musk. Mass shooting in Tacoma, Washington at a house party overnight. Police say two people are dead, four others injured, one arrest. This is ABC News.
Hey there, Pat Walsh for Roseville Numismatics and Coin Shop. You know, gold and silver prices are on the rise, so I always tell you about Roseville Numismatics and Coin Shop. They've been a partner of my show for several years, and they tell me many people have been coming in recently to sell gold and silver items, making a nice profit on items they purchased in the past. So, if you have gold, silver, platinum jewelry, or rare coins, find out what they are worth now. The timing is perfect. Hey, the team at Roseville Numismatics is professional, knowledgeable. 898 Douglas Boulevard in Roseville. Just knock on a door. Tell them Patrick sent you.
From El Dorado Hills to Davis, local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather.
Very critical for us to bring you once again both sides.
All angles, both sides. With in-depth reporting and insight to the most important news stories. KFBK, Sacramento's News Radio.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
This little travel company, Sports Leisure Vacation, started 47 years ago by taking people to San Francisco Giants baseball games. And we are still doing it. But the games have been very popular this year, and tickets are getting scarce. So Sports Leisure takes you all the way to the ballpark and all the way back. You get refreshments en route, great seats at the ballpark. The coach pulls up to the front door and picks you up there. You can avoid the parking, the traffic, the tolls, all of that stuff. You can even drink a couple beers at the ball game and not have to worry about getting home safely. If you go to sportsleisure.com and you click on the baseball tab, you will find that there are tickets only to three games left this season. So if you're a baseball fan and you want it, the easy way to get down to Oracle Park and see the Giants play, go to sportsleisure.com and join us on one of our ballpark expresses.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And a couple of times a year, we spend time talking about the Wreath Project. And again with us, Susie Stocking, head honcho, person in charge of something way, way bigger than you might imagine, the Wreath Project. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Susie.
Susie, I got your most recent communication where you sent out and talked about you're basically, you know, you're done resting now, and it's time to start over again for what will happen next December. Is that kind of accurate?
It is. We take about a month off and then start everything all over.
Well, and I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I mean, I looked here on your update, and it says the goal for this year is to purchase 38,000 bows to put, each costing about $10. So, you know, you can do the math on that pretty easily because those numbers are right next to each other. That's $380,000 to cover all of those graves. That's a lot of money. How much did you raise last year?
Well, last year we raised enough to cover the entire cemetery, and there were about 35,000 at that time. And it's, we do a few fundraising events of our own, and then there are some other groups that fundraise and pass on the proceeds to us. And the rest is just individual and private donations and businesses supporting us.
Susie, how many years have you been doing this now?
When the cemetery opened in that October.
Okay. And how many years ago was that?
Oh, 19 years ago.
The idea here is to honor fallen veterans by, originally it was a wreath. Now there are so many that the cost of wreaths is out of reach at this point. But to put something on every single grave down there every single year at the Sacramento Valley National Cemetery, I've told you this before, I know, but I really have a lot of admiration for you in this project. I mean, I'm sure it's become somewhat bigger than life. How did it start? Remind us all how this idea came about.
It started, the December of that year, 2006, my husband was watching a news story, and he saw about the National Wreaths Across America program and what they did across the country, putting wreaths on in the veterans' cemeteries. And so it was already December, so it was too late to participate with that group. So he went out and found out there were 320 graves out there already. So we got some friends and friends together and actually purchased those 320 in place in that first year. And from there, it took off. We did letter writing the next few years to get people to donate, and eventually formed our own nonprofit, and it's grown into this.
Wow. So clearly, the Stocking family really are totally responsible for what you have today. But of course, the contributions and those that work with you have become massive. And as you mentioned, private donations, fundraising. We spoke before the show. There is no government grants or extra monies to come in. Susie, with the opportunity, if you do have any, you know, corporate sponsors or anybody that you would like to, you know, salute on our program, we give you that opportunity. So think about it if there is. And anyway, what's the first big event that's coming up?
Yeah, the first big project of the year is their golf tournament. This is the ninth time that they've done it. It's going to be at Hagen Oaks on Friday, May the 30th. Shotgun started at 8 a.m. Tell us a little bit more about it, if you can, Susie. What does it cost to be a part of the golf tournament, and how can folks get involved?
Okay, and your question kind of leads into one of our larger sponsors, actually. Jeff Wishman with the American Bottle Auctions has sponsored this golf tournament all 8 years that we've held it. And he's unable to this year, so we're looking for a new sponsor. But we certainly want to thank him for all the years of promoting that and helping us get that started, because it's been very successful for us. Golfers, let's see, to golf individually, it's $150 a golfer. And we have a number if they want to go to the website and check out the sponsorship levels. We have different sponsorship levels. We're looking for raffle prizes, and it's a fun day. There's a luncheon followed by an awards program, and it's just been a real nice event for us.
We have a link at travelguysradio.com. So if you would like to know more about the Wreath Project, about the golf tournament, about how you could get involved, they have a big dinner and auction on in early September. And then, of course, the big day when the decorations are placed on the grave. Susie, is there anything, before we let you go here, is there anything that you would like to add? Is there, you know, anything inspirational or something about what this all means to you? What is it like to go out there and decorate all of those graves every year? I mean, there must be some moment of real personal reflection and satisfaction here, or you wouldn't have put all of this effort into this for so many years.
You know what I think is so important is to remember the families that, you know, we're doing this to honor the families as well as the veteran, and it means a lot to the families. And what I like about it is we're able to control our delivery, so we do get the vows a week prior to the public event, so families are given that whole week to go out and lay their bow at their own timing and, you know, have a bit of privacy and things like that. And so many people thank us for doing that particular thing. But then the other, probably the second best moment is when we go out there that day and there's, you know, hundreds or thousands of people to help during the public placement and help get that done. And it's just, it's amazing.
Wow. Susie, we thank you. I know our listeners do for heading up this project. It means a lot to those that, like you say, that have family members that are vets. We do. We go. We participate, and it does. It means a lot to our family and all the others that that I see there as well. So good luck. Keep us posted. Let us know if there's anything we can do here at the Travel Guys to move this along for you.
I will. We thank you very much for your support every year.
You're welcome. It's an honor to be a small part of something like this. So I really salute you. You don't need me to tell you that it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, but it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. So keep up the good work. I suspect that the effort is worth it, and we'll see you sometime along the road, Susie, maybe at your dinner in September.
Thank you very much.
You know, the cemetery, it's just up the street in Dixon. A lot of people don't really know where it is. Easy to find, though. Sacramento Valley Cemetery. We get up there a couple of times a year. We've got families that we like to go visit. But during the holidays and the wreath project is really special. And do pay attention to the dates and what time that if you would like to put your own bow on your loved one's gravesite, that you can make arrangements to do that. If you can't, of course, they'll take care of it for you. But it is a very special place for anybody like our family that has veterans that are out there. Interesting thing, Mark, if you're a veteran and you have a plot at the Sacramento Valley Cemetery, they allot you a spot right next to it for your spouse. So when you go out there, those that that were veterans and whose the wife later passed on, or husband, depending on which one was in the military, you look on the other side of the headstone, and there will be the spouse. So not only is it you know, honoring the veteran, but it's also in many ways honoring the spouse of the veteran too.
It's an amazing. It really is an amazing project. It started from nothing. They put. Wreaths on 300 graves. Now there are 38. There will be 38,000 this year. I mean, it just is. It just boggles the mind. Anyway, a great job and a salute. And if you're a golfer, maybe go online to TravelGuysRadio.com. Click on that link. You go out and have a round of golf and do something really good for the community. Have you ever been sitting at the airport and they come on the PA system and say, "Hey, we need a couple people to get off this, give up their seats on this plane, and we'll give you," and you wonder, "Wow, that's a lot of money. I wonder if they would give me more." Charlie Leoka from Travelers United talks about compensation for denied boarding.
Welcome to the Travel Guys. Charlie, how you been?
Hey, I've just been doing great, and I'm glad to be here again.
Thanks, Charlie. I'm going to be in D.C. next week. You may or may not be aware that U.S. Travel's annual lobbying day, advocacy day, is next Wednesday, I believe. So we'll get our marching orders on Tuesday and go out on Wednesday. And, you know, normally I tell people on this radio program that normally travel is a fairly bipartisan thing. You know, either both sides are for it or both sides are against it. And it's usually pretty, you can go into a donkey's office and tell the same story that you can go in an elephant's office and use the same lines and the same pitches. I'm not so sure that may be the case this time around.
Unfortunately, in the Biden administration, even though I wrote column after column and I had a chance to go in and talk to DOT and everything else, they didn't do anything until the very last year. And then they lasted until the last 3 months.
Let's move on here and see. Before we get down to the compensation thing, which is really why I asked you to join us today, I wanted to quickly get your take on what's about to happen here with Southwest Airlines. You know, their own in-house surveys and stuff told them that getting rid of the way that they boarded in the unassigned seats would be incredibly unpopular with the people who traveled with them. But ultimately, it seems like they gave in to the statistics from the people who didn't travel with them, who really didn't like that that system makes sense. The people who liked it traveled with you. The people who didn't. Now, do they pick up enough people here to... What happens, Charlie? Does Southwest become just like everybody else, or will there still be something that will make that airline different from the others?
Well, I'm afraid they're going to be just like everybody else for the short run. I have talked to some of the people at Southwest that I know, and some of the other, let's say, analysts and people, minor, lower-level executives. And what they tell me is that as soon as Elliott management goes out of, you know, gets what they want, they can double their money, they're going to leave. And then they'll go back, and they'll rerun the airline. They'll reexamine what they've already done. But they've got a real problem right now. And they're building new slides at the gates at a lot of the airports where they're setting up a system to do a lot of gate checking because they think they're going to have to do a lot of gate checking. And that takes a lot of time.
When Charlie refers to Elliott, it's a group of there are folks out there in the stock market who identify companies that they think are not making as much money as they should. And then they go and try to get seats on their board and try to influence their decision-making process. And that's what has happened with Southwest, is that one of these groups has decided that Southwest was not maximizing their revenue opportunities and they weren't making enough money for their shareholders. So these people bought in and made their presence known. And it's like, if you don't change some things and fix some things, then we're going to change or fix them for you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, our special guest, Charlie Leoka with Travelers United. Charlie, what's your thoughts on, bags will always fly free on Southwest. That's what we're all about. This is our mantra. We're sticking with it until the bitter end. Tell me what you think.
Well, I think that eventually, I mean, this is my own personal feeling, and I just really feel like the free bags will come back after about a year, or at least they're going to come back with at least one bag free.
You would have thought in the beginning that Southwest wouldn't have any problems with people trying to schlep things onto the airplane that were, you know, the size of the kitchen sink, but that wasn't the case. I mean, people still, even with Southwest's free baggage policy, people are like, well, I don't have to wait for this at baggage claim or whatever. All right, we'll see how that shakes out. We've got a ways to go. The real reason that I asked you to come on the program today was because of an article you wrote earlier this month about compensation rules. And I've watched this happen a couple of times in airports lately where planes are oversold. And, you know, we've got three more people with confirmed confirmations than we have seats on the plane. So now we're going to make announcements on the PA system. We're going to make an offer to people and say, you know, we'll put you on the next flight and we'll give you a $500 voucher or $500 in cash, whatever. They wait, see if they get any takers. Then they up it a little bit. Then they up it a little more because ultimately they've got to make those numbers work. In Europe, there are lots of rules that delineate what happens in these situations. In the U.S., not so much. What's your wisdom, Charlie, to folks who you're sitting at the gate and suddenly you've got a little flexibility in your travel plans and suddenly they come on and they start offering chunks of money and you're looking at yourself and whoever's traveling with you and you're thinking, wow, this might be good, but is it the best offer that you'll get? So if you're sitting there, Charlie, in the gate area and the airline comes on and they say, you know, we'll give you $750 if you'll take the next flight. What's a good strategy if that were you and you had a little bit of flexibility and you're thinking, you know, you're sitting there and it's rolling through your mind. And if I wait, somebody may volunteer and the situation will be, the opportunity will be gone. Or if I wait and they don't get anybody, then the amount of money that whatever they're offering is going to go up.
Right. But, you know, you've also got a situation where it depends on your individual factors. If you're traveling with your wife, that's two of you. That means that everything is doubled.
And also, let's make, just so that listeners are clear, it is very rare for an airline to have to deny boarding to somebody. Almost, they will, as you've indicated here, Charlie, sometimes they will jump through huge hoops and offer outrageous amounts of money for people to volunteer to get off the plane so that they don't have to. But if for any reason you are denied boarding, you have a legitimate ticket and you've checked in on time, then you will be entitled. There are rules that entitle you to specific minimum compensation. What the airline is trying to do is to get someone else to voluntarily step forward and do that so that they don't have to. But just for folks listening, it is very rare that an airline cannot get people to. They intentionally overbook flights because they know that there will be no shows and there will be situations where not everybody makes it. But if you encounter one of those situations yourself, not to worry. If indeed you are forced off of an aircraft that you had a legitimate reservation for, then the airline is going to have to come up with some compensation for you. Charlie, thank you for all of your comments and your thoughts today. As always, very much appreciated. I will tell our listeners that Charlie is head of an organization called Travelers United. There is probably no group in the country that fights as hard for travelers as consistently as Charlie's group does. And the other good news is he wins every once in a while. So you can
right.
There's a link to Travelers United on our website, and you can go there. All kinds of free information that will make you a smarter traveler. You can also belong to Travelers United, which will get you even access to even more stuff. Is that an acceptable
right.
commercial, Charlie?
That's okay. And the other thing you want to do is when you get into Travelers United, make sure you look, just type in deny boarding, and you'll get the information right there. And then you can read all about the different questions you should ask about the free tickets. And you want to know whether or not the flight's confirmed. You want to know whether or not they'll provide amenities such as a meal or a hotel room or a transfer between hotels. And, you know, how long is a voucher good for? Is a ticket or a voucher usable during the holiday period or is it blacked out? And these are all questions that you want to know. Is it also good for an international flight? And if you don't ask the questions, you don't know, because you'll just get a blank voucher and it will only be for a domestic ticket.
If it expires next week and it's only good to Timbuktu, then you want a little bit more leeway than that. Charlie, thank you very much, buddy. Until next time, you and Ned and all the folks at Travelers United, take care. We appreciate all the help that you give us.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks to Charlie.
Always nice to hear from Charlie. He's in the middle of everything.
He absolutely is. Charlie has his finger on the pulse, and the pulse is beating on a regular basis back there now. So I'm sure Charlie has no shortage of things to do. Hey, next week we're going to talk about what is the most popular frequent flyer program and why. What gives you the very most value when you're working on airline frequent flyer programs next week on the Travel Guys?
And also next week on the Travel Guys, we're going to spend some time with we're going to have Chris Elliott back. And he has his own insight on what's been going on with Southwest. We'll track him down somewhere on the other side of the planet. Mark, we were talking about the frequent flyer programs, and that's something that has been a major part of your life as a travel expert for many, many years. I know that you choose United, and it has been your primary. If you had to make a switch, where would you go?
I'm happy where I am. Delta's a little better airline at this point. American is a little lesser airline at this point. I didn't really choose United. They chose me. They merged with Continental, and Continental was the airline our company was using at the time because they were very friendly. So that's why we chose them. All right, we will see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock on the Travel Guys. In the meantime, remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, my friends. We'll be back at 11 a.m. next Saturday. Don't forget TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can find podcasts there, as well as podcasts always on iHeartRadio. Stay well. See you next week.
KFBK Sacramento.
KFBK FM. Pollock Pines.
For local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather, KFBK. Sacramento's News Radio.